today on Real Radio.
How do I defend my love for God? Say, what kind of, what'd you say? How do I defend my love for God? Why? Because everything in this world, and even my flesh, is against my love for God. My flesh wants to do its own thing.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series now called The Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. In a lesson called Our Biblical Worldview and Spirituality, Pastor Jack desires that we'd be willing, usable, and that we'd be equipped to give a response for the reason of the hope within us, Jesus Christ. Today, Pastor Jack once again warns the Christ follower that Satan is devoted to our destruction. That's the truth. He wants to destroy our witness by blinding us to the truth that God loves us. He forgives us of our sins through salvation and has a plan for our lives. So be wise, stay focused on the truth while keeping your dependence upon Him. And now here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
A couple of verses here right now. 2 Timothy 4:7. Paul says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. 2 Timothy 2:3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Can you imagine somebody in Iraq right now running around and he's got his Nintendo playing a game while he's in a battle? Or he's got the popcorn popper going on while he's shooting a... No! He's fighting for his life. Nobody entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who has enlisted him as a soldier. Vitally important. Stay focused on the fact, Christian, that you are in a hostile environment. And we need to just wake up right now. We need to wake up and stop trying to hold hands with the world and sing kumbaya with people who would kill your Jesus if Jesus were to come back today. They'd kill him again. Oh, let's just all have this big prayer meeting. Come on. Well, who are you? Well, we're the this and we're the those and we're the that's and the this and we pray to rocks. But let's have a prayer meeting. And we pray to totem poles and we pray to Jell-O. And then you can come too. You can bring your God. And we'll all have this prayer meeting. Let me ask you, does that even, what? The Bible says no to this. The Bible says don't do that. Why? God's not going to show up at that meeting like that. Union, ecumenical, coming together, let's just make it one. The Bible says there are demonic doctrines behind what those sweet people believe. Did you know that? But they're so nice. I mean, they're so nice. We're not talking nice. We're not talking how sweet they are. Behind it. Look behind. Number five. You see, we just got started. I know, number five will be here for the rest of the night. Number five, our biblical worldview and spirituality. Fifth and final warning is being sure about loving God. So, well, that doesn't sound very dynamic coming to the conclusion. Are you kidding me? This is the greatest thing of all. You love God and you examine your heart and I examine my heart right now about loving God. Do I love God? Really? Do we love God? As a church, do we love God? Are we more concerned? Do we worry about what people think? Are we worried about what this, if I put into practice this verse in my life, you know, what will people think? Or man, if I do this, you know what? What's my flesh going to do? When we love God, we're all out. It's all out Jesus. Listen, when we love him, we are free. When we love him, you are set loose. You are unfettered. And we know this, every one of us in this room know this, that when you love, you're crazy. See, well, love what? What? Oh, well, what is it? Who is it? Just on the human level. Oh man, I'm so in love with her. Oh, I'm gonna ask her to marry me. Oh, she's the best. And the things, well, how do you know you love her? And then the guy will go on for an hour. You couldn't get the guy to talk. But now he can't, he won't be quiet about her. Oh, this and oh, that. And, well, I just love him. He's just, and she'll go on for an hour about attributes that no one else can see, but she can see them. Benjamin Franklin said, it's true, love is blind, and you need to go into marriage with both eyes wide open. And he said, after you say I do, keep one eye shut. That's not good counsel, but he said it. But be sure about loving God. We all need to stop and take a pulse test, as it were, to examine what our heart rate and what the strength of that pulse is for our love and our passion for God. Do we really, really love him? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what I tell you. You say, well, that's not like a very loving relationship. If I love him, I'll do what he tells me. He only wants what's exactly fantastically perfect for you. You know, when you love someone, it's interesting how you pay attention to every little thing. And guys, I don't know if you know this or not. Again, old school here. But, you know, if you love someone and you notice that when you, let's say you're dating, and you notice that whenever you go on a date, she always orders, passion sweet tea or something. So that what you wind up doing, you know, you're reading her like a book. And so what happens if she happens to go to the little powder room bathroom thing, and then the waiter shows up, and he'll say, what would you like to drink? Or what do you do? I mean, to really score some major points with her, you'll say, yes, and when she returns, but please, she'll have fruit tea thing. And then she shows up and she goes, oh my gosh, how'd you know? Well, you know, the last couple of dates we were on, that's what you ordered. And what does that say? It sends a message that you care. When Jesus says, if you love me, you'll do what I say, it's not strong arm. It's you've spent time with him, you're getting to know him, you've read his love letter to you, and you're responding. And you start to act and say and do based on your relationship with him, so that if he's visible or if a wave has taken him out of your glimpse, maybe you're walking on water, maybe it's a storm of life, you still know his answer. Why? Love. If you don't love God, you don't know that. And you don't know him that way. Now, here we go. Unbiblical spirituality, as we've been talking about, is designed and tailor-made by Satan to draw hearts away from our dependence upon God. Never underestimate that. That's Satan's plan. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, now the Spirit expressly, the Spirit, Holy Spirit, absolutely, unwaveringly, to the point, says that in the latter days, latter times, some will depart from the faith. Why? Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Getting lost along the way is Satan's plan. For the believer and the non-believer, I believe the greatest deception of all is for Satan in the life of the non-believer to get the non-believer not to believe that Satan exists. You want to do a test? Are you guys with me? You're really quiet tonight. You want to do a test on that? Go out into the world and ask the world, do you believe in Satan? Do you believe that there's a devil? Ah, that's ridiculous. That's from storybooks. And yet Jesus said there was such a person, personality. And what he'll do to the world, and look, he doesn't have to get you to bite snake heads off and play rock and roll music and tight pants and... He doesn't have to get you to do that. He can get you to be extremely moral and upright. Anywhere in between. As long as you miss Jesus, he's happy. And in the life of a believer, if he could just get you to entertain some bogus doctrine, well, you know, this group says it's okay. These people say, I've got some good friends who are into that thing. And they take biblical theology and they're Christians, and they throw the discipline out, and they embrace aberrant doctrine, which is a doctrine of Satan, of demons, and it could really mess them up. It could really hurt them. So we want to be careful about that. Church, I'm going to ask you to write this stuff down. Number one, weapon of choice as a believer. Regarding loving God, watch this. How do I defend my love for God? Say, what'd you say? How do I defend my love for God? Why? Because everything in this world, and even my flesh, is against my love for God. My flesh wants to do its own thing. And yet you and I, from the Bible, we know what we're supposed to do. Listen, what is the number one weapon of choice? Number one, write it down. Weapon of choice for the believer is, listen, the Holy Spirit. A dependence upon the Holy Spirit, the person. My friends, listen, I'm going to offend some people tonight, but I'm happy to do it because I know I'm right on this. There's a lot of stuff going on in so-called Christianity today that's very famous, very cool, very big, very hip, very, very awesome, very, very generates a ginormous crowd, and wow, isn't that cool? And tremendous speakers and all this stuff, and you know what you don't hear? You do not hear. I've listened to it. I've watched this. You do not hear a call and a cry for people, believers, to be radically dependent upon the person of the Holy Spirit and to know Him and His power and to learn the doctrine of the Bible regarding the Holy Spirit. You don't hear about it. It's avoided. He's avoided. Danger. Number one weapon of warfare for us against demonic doctrine and demonic spirits and Satan's agenda is the person of the Holy Spirit active in your life. I'm going to give you some verses. I'm going to do it quick. John 14, 16. Jesus said, I will pray to the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. John 16, 12. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. 1 John 4:4. This is an awesome verse. 1 John 4:4. You ever have nightmares or fuzzy little things running around your room that ought not to be? This is a great verse. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because He who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. That is a direct verse about the Holy Spirit residing inside the believer, having galvanized the believer, who owns the believer against any satanic, demonic manifestation. Listen, if weird stuff's going on in your life, you need to find out why. Number two, if it's going on in your life, you need to remind yourself, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. The Holy Spirit owning my life is stronger than any demonic, satanic power that this world can ever throw. 1 John 2:20, this is a great portion of scripture. 1 John 2:20 down to verse 28 is amazing. Are you ready? 1 John 2:20. John says, but you, he's speaking to believers. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John are written to believers only. But you have an anointing. Circle the word anointing. From the Holy One, referencing the Holy Spirit. And you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. And that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. Did you hear that, everybody? Ask someone, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah of mankind? If they say, nope, we believe He's a prophet. We believe that He was an enlightened one. We believe that He was one of the mystics. We believe that He was one of the enlightened ones. Guess who they are? They are of the lie. Look what he says. Are you with me? Look at latter end of verse 22. He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Verse 23. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, Let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing, circle that again, second time it's appeared, which you have received from him abides in you. You getting an idea who that is? And you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing, third time, teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it is has taught you, you will abide in him. Now the anointing is a him, and he abides in you. And he teaches you, and he will not let you believe a lie. Okay? And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Awesome, awesome statement. What? Jesus said, I'm leaving. I've got to go. I'm going back to heaven. But I will not leave you orphaned. I will come to you. How does Jesus Christ come to us? If he's gone to heaven to prepare a place for us, John 14, how does he abide or dwell in us? He said he would. You said it. Say it again. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And so listen, inside of every true believer, there is an advanced warning system. The Holy Spirit. GPS. God protecting salvation in you. I just made that up. So, the Holy Spirit's going to do that. By the way, listen, that word anointing, and the reason why it is a reference to the Holy Spirit is because it means a special abiding endowment, an unction, a presence. It's the Holy Spirit. Weapon of choice number two, the Word of God. You get the Holy Spirit. Weapon of choice number two, the Word of God. That is the Bible embedded in our hearts. There's no substitute for it. Listen, if you're not reading your Bible on a regular basis, you're going to get creamed by the enemy. You're going to get smeared. You know enough about Christianity to know that it's right, but in this world, you're getting kicked all over the place. You're a sucker for every temptation. You go from one defeat to the next defeat, and you never have victory. You want to know why? Because the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, is reaching back in the, as it were, in the toolbox. The Holy Spirit who's in you reaches into the toolbox to grab Scripture in that instant when that temptation comes or whatever, and you don't have anything there. Remember in the ancient days, back in the ancient times, there was this saying when they invented computers. It was called garbage in, garbage out. Remember that? You can only draw out of it what's been put in it. And that's true spiritually. Man, I got to tell you, it was a week ago tomorrow, last Thursday night, I was minding my own business. I was to speak at an event. I'm just sitting there minding my own business. Everything's fine. I'm saying, Lord, just get me ready. Bless this night. And Satan walked up. He didn't walk up with horns on his head. But somebody came up and said something to me. And I'm used to being, hey, you're a jerk. I heard you on the radio. You know what? I ought to. It wasn't one of those things. And immediately, because I'm, Lord, bless this night, and this is a great cause that this event is all for. And then Satan. It was like, what? This is the enemy. Bye-bye. See ya. Gotta move. Advanced warning. When the Holy Spirit speaks, you listen. The Bible. There's no substitute. Listen, Hebrews 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4, 12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. The Bible can lay open someone's motives. Of the joint and of the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Hebrews 4, 13 says, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes to him or of him to whom we must give an account. The Bible. When Jesus confronted Satan in the Bible, what did he use? A bazooka? Did he use a nuclear bomb? What did Jesus use? The Bible, the Word of God. By the way, interesting, Jesus quoted the book of Deuteronomy more than any other book of the Bible. That was seems to be his favorite book, the book of Deuteronomy. Jesus used book of Deuteronomy, quoting from it over and over again. The Bible is God's all-sufficient word to mankind. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, verse 17, that as believers, we are to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How do we slay demonic, satanic doctrines and influences in our lives? With the Word of God. But you got to have it. You guys, that word is Makaira. I can't belabor it. I just got to tell you, the Roman broadsword, I have one in my office. It's about that long. And it's what the Roman soldier either had in the middle of his back or off to his side. It was huge, and it's heavy. And when a Roman soldier would get that thing going, they would just get it going. And he kind of resembled a helicopter as it was going. And it was like, whoa, man, wow. Major crowd control when those guys had that thing going, okay? But listen, that's not the word used here for the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The sword is the word Makaira. It's an 18-inch blade. 18-inch. Cubit. That's a cubit. 18-inch blade. That the Roman soldier never pulled it out. Well, let me read it to you. Listen to this. Makaira, knife, dagger, blade, used for close hand-to-hand combat. The Makaira was the Roman soldier's last weapon to be drawn due to its effectiveness. It was light in weight and extremely sharp. The Makaira was plunged and driven into the opponent in a rapid and repeated manner and to the hilt, which resulted in the piercing and puncturing of vital organs. Death was almost certain as it was used with force and speed, rendering it the most effective defense against an enemy. And that's what the Bible says that the Word of God is, the Makaira, not the Roman broadsword. When you were in hand-to-hand close combat, you pulled out the Word of God specifically for that kill. So listen, if you're being tempted, you do not quote Genesis 1:1. Oh my goodness, I'm being tempted. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Not going to help. Nothing's going to happen. If you're suffering in great pain and you're a believer and you need the comfort of God, you, as great as John 3:16 is, it's not going to help. You understand what I'm saying? Makaira, specific verse for the specific need, for the specific rescue.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, in a message called Our Biblical Worldview and Spirituality, Part 3. Thanks for listening to today's message. Pastor Jack wants to encourage you with this hope that with prayer, with living a holy life, and being consistent with the Lord, you will have a keen weapon against the present evils of life. Today's lesson was just one in our series called the Worldview Series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues with a biblical lens. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And by the way, did you know that you can get the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet? That's real easy to do. Just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and you can point and you can click and find that app for your smartphone or tablet. But there's an easier way to do it. Just go to your app store, whether you're an Apple user, an Android, Google, whatever. Just go to the app store and look for the Real Life app. Let's say you're sitting in the doctor's office, you're at the registry of motor vehicles or something along those lines, and you've got plenty of time to kill. Well, I'll tell you what, a great way to spend that time would be with the Real Life app. Check out what's going on here at Real Radio. And listen, if you like Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love the videos that he does. There's a whole video section. We've got radio section, the devotional section, resources available for you. Look at this, 40 days of prayer and fasting. I'm just looking at the website myself right now. There's a section right there at our website. Look for the Real Life app. Direct yourself to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Point and click, get exactly what you need. Get that Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.